The demand for alternative proteins in Australia is growing due to the increase in cost of red meats, concerns related to health, the environment and animal welfare. From man-made meats to edible insects, the shift in demand is creating new opportunities for protein producers to diversify. Melanie Scott spoke to Michelle Colgrave to find out more.
Why do we need alternative protein sources?
So we've got a growing population. We're going to reach around 9.7 billion people by 2050. And with that, that's an additional 70% food that we will need, including an increasing demand.
Australia is one of the largest per capita beef consumers in the world, but there has been a gradual change in protein preference over the last two decades. This is partly due to the rising cost of red meat, concerns for the environment, and also animal welfare. But what exactly do alternative protein sources look like?
There's a whole range of different technologies and new food sources we can think about. So they could be your plant-based protein, which is already in retail. You see it in your supermarkets now. And then you've got things like algae. You've got seaweed that can be rich in protein.
But it's not just plant and seaweed-based products that are being used to create protein. Precision fermentation is another technology for creating protein-rich products, estimated to be worth $2.2 billion by 2030.
And then we're thinking about new methods of production of protein, which includes technology like fermentation that we've used to make a whole heap of products for years, tens of thousands of years, in fact, if we think about how far the tech goes back, and that, you know, things like beer, cheese, kimchi, other fermented products. But we're now using it to generate proteins and specific healthy ingredients that can go into our food system.
And if you're worried about eating meat from animals, there are technologies being designed to combat this as well.
Things like cultivated meat, where you're actually harvesting cells from animals to then put into a bioreactor and grow those new protein sources.
So what about things like insects? How likely is it that we'll be eating insects in the near future?
Yeah, so insects are another really interesting one, and people are eating insects. In fact, 2 billion people around the world eat insects every day, and we call them alternative here in Australia, but really they're just part of staple diet in many regions of the world. So it is quite common to be consuming them for many people. Not so common for us.
Insect farming is considered to have a low environmental footprint because they require less land, water and energy.
There's opportunities there because they are rich in protein, they're rich in iron, they're rich in many minerals and vitamins.
But are all of these protein alternatives as sustainable as insect farming?
They all have to be looked at independently on their merits. Like, so some of them will require additional processing, and those processing steps can be energy or water intensive. But there are versions of the technology that are more sustainable, that don't require the use of solvents or those energy that I mentioned. And then others have smaller footprints. So they all just have to be independently assessed, and we have to look at the whole food system, not just the specific protein type.
Michelle has been working on creating a protein roadmap to guide investments in a diverse range of new products and ingredients. It's designed to create opportunities for Australia to implement science, innovation and technology that will help protein producers capitalise on opportunities and help accelerate growth in the Australian protein industry. I asked Michelle what the end goal of all this was.
So it really was to establish, well, firstly, provide those opportunities for industry, government and academia to act on, and really provide a bit of a blueprint for how we act on those opportunities and, as I say, accelerate the growth of our protein industry. So it's really a conversation starter, and now we've actually got to take look at those opportunities and implement either the science and tech, or perhaps it's the manufacturing that we need here onshore in Australia to allow those opportunities to come to life.
There is a lot outside this control of food supply chains, but Michelle Colgrave believes that there's a lot we can still do to allow for these outside factors to improve supply chain integrity.
We've also got climate uncertainty, we've got conflict around the world, and all of those are impacting on food security. And we've also seen the impact of COVID, for instance, on global supply chains.
We need to look at shortening the time it takes to get food from one place to another to speed up delivery, and also look at technology to create new and diverse protein sources.
We need to shorten supply chain, so having Australian manufacturing is a great way to do that, and also creating these new and diverse protein sources will allow us to address some of those concerns around food security.
Michelle Colgrave, leading CSIRO Future Protein Mission and Professor of Food and Agriculture Proteomics, ending that report by Melanie Scott.